Jeremy here. Just before we get into the show, wanted to give an update. We have a new tier on our Patreon. That is the Sheikah supporter tier. For $5 or more a month, you get a week early access to episodes, as well as getting to pick games that you play alongside us. Each month, people in this tier can pick a game that we'll play. We'll stream it on our Discord for everyone else to see. And it's been a lot of fun. We just played the Rogue Hero Ruins of Tassos game, which is this roguelike, Zelda-like game that is very similar to the old Four Swords games. It's very chaotic. It's very, very fun. If you want to join up in that, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. If you can't afford that, we do still have the smaller tier. Just a reminder, people that join in that tier, they get ad-free episodes. They also get access to our side quests episodes, where once a month we record an episode just talking about all the other games that we have been playing. You also get to pick the games that we play in between Zelda games, what we call our Gaiden games, as well as getting a shout-out. If that sounds good to you, once again, go to patreon.com/chatofthewild. Sign up, support us. We really appreciate it. Anyways, that's all I have, so let's get on with the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New this April from HyperX, it's the HyperX Clutch Controller. Get better control of your mobile gaming with its comfortable grip, directional pad, analog sticks, and shoulder buttons. This versatile controller can fit a variety of phone widths and can also connect wirelessly for use on tablets and PCs. Learn more and pick one up online at HyperXandHP.com, Amazon, Micro Center, Target, Best Buy, and other fine retailers.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com.
Hi, everyone. Brian here with a little programming note. This episode of the Zelda cartoon relies heavily on anti-Semitic stereotypes and coding, some of which taken straight from 1930s Nazi propaganda. It is very important to remember that the kind of post-racism America that many of us were told we were living in while growing up never actually existed. And whether it's a children's cartoon from the 1980s or acts of domestic terror in the form of church bombings or synagogue shootings that continue to this day, you don't have to search too hard to find evidence. As for this episode in particular, if you would like to help in some way, consider making a donation to the Jews of Color Initiative. After we recorded this episode, I reached out to someone of Jewish heritage for suggestions of positive organizations working in good faith, and she pointed me towards them. They work to help to build communities for Jewish people, regardless of the color of their skin, and to combat discrimination. We'll have a link to their website in the episode description. Remember, kids, we are all one, and race is a construct. Be good to each other. And now on with the show.
This is the Triforce of Wisdom, Link. The evil wizard Ganon has the Triforce of Power. Whoever gets both Triforces will rule this land forever. You must help me, Link.
Hey, for you, Zelda, anything.
Nice job, hero.
Hey, excuse me, princess.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chat of the Wild Suffers Through the Legend of Zelda cartoon for you. This is a public service. We're doing this for you guys. Thank you to our patrons for unlocking this nightmarish hell we have found ourselves in the middle of, where we're stuck in the 80s, guys, and we're going to get out of here eventually. The last episode's going to be a time warp, and we're going to be back to our
lives.
We'll
break the seal.
We're going to break the seal, and we're going to make it back. But so let's start off. We are watching the episode Stinging a Stinger. I believe this is yet another instance of just 50s white people slang that we don't know. And is a term I have never heard of before, but it seems to be like something you call a guy who's like a tries to screw you over.
A crook. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, someone who's, you know, facetiously trying to get money from you or screw you over in some way. There are stereotypes at play with this character as well. It's pretty bad, but let's just kind of go in with what we got here. We start with Link he's just kind of hanging out on his back on a cart or something, playing She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not with a flower.
Which I feel like, the whole She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not, like, that changes throughout the episode anyway, like, for every single episode. Like, sometimes Zelda's into him, sometimes she's not.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just out of sync. That's the whole issue, is they're just not in sync with each other.
I mean, he's actually not on a car. He's just on his horse.
With his back on the horse.
We don't know if this is Catherine or not, but he's just kind of laying there playing with the flower, I guess. So, yeah, there we go. My initial note here was that an old man is getting roughed up by some ... evil Hylians, because they look different, but it's never, like, it's not, they don't look like Hylians, but they don't look like something from the underworld. They just look like bad people, I guess.
This is the thing I'm always bringing up. I'm just like, what is the country next to Hylia? Like, there's always like
Kingdom.
We've never been told that, like, this is the planet that we're on, or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, flat circle that
Gaia.
Hylia exists on.
Yeah.
But
the terraformed planet.
There's always like a different version of humanoid characters that we come across that are not like clearly fish people or bird people or rock eating people or something. Like, there's some sort of like elf human hybrid related character in a lot of these Zelda games. And this one, it is weird. Like, they don't seem like they're Hylians, like you said.
Right. Like, right off the bat.
And we had the prince show up in an earlier episode, and was he depicted that differently? I'm trying to remember what he looked like.
No, yeah. he looked like He-Man. I mean, he had like He-Man's face and his little, like, you know, short bun hair style or whatever, and dressed in all white, but he didn't look. Because these thieves that we're dealing with, they're like these stocky. Like, their body types are just so different than what we have seen in other stuff. They're just like real big round guys.
Yeah. They're like one step away from being like a big moblin creature or something like that. But they're mm-hmm. humanoid almost, or highly annoyed in some way.
I was waiting for them to turn into a monster.
Right.
Because we've seen that before. We had that damsel in distress turn into a Gibdo. And so I was waiting for something like that to happen here.
That's true. Right. So anyway, he sees them roughing up some guy and he jumps into action, you know, flips over a guy and cuts his club. Another guy throws a spear at him and he like puts his sword up, which splits the spear in half. Does anyone remember the third weapon that we had here?
A spiked broom? Is this some ancient weapon that we just was lost to time? That
no, it's
one
so we can have
of?
A Sideshow Bob scene.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a rake style thing with spikes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But like clearly spikes. I mean, maybe it is a rake, but it's like it's not drawn like a rake. It's drawn like a weapon.
And no one, it doesn't get thrown at Link. The guy is like, okay, you know what? I'm not here for this, because Link
quickly dispatches with the first two things that are thrown at him. And he's just like, I don't like this plan anymore. I'm out. He throws his spiked rake into the air and then runs away with his arms flailing and Sideshow Bobs himself into the rake and hits himself in the face. The third one trips over this guy on his way out. And we are introduced to the character Sleaze Nose or Sneeze Nose.
I had Sleaze No. Is it Sleaze Nose?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares?
Racist stereotype. Let's just say that. And basically that. He offers Link a scimitar for his... Also, he kind of points to Link. He's like, hey, there's a guy behind you. And Link, you know, does the behind his back, shoots him with his gun sort of shot.
But Sleazno does say, he calls Link one hot swordsman.
Link also says nighty night when he takes care of one of the guys.
Yep.
But he offers Link a scimitar as a gift. Sorry, what was that?
I just said hot swordsman in your area.
They're looking to connect and go on adventures with you. He's like, hey, dude, that was pretty awesome. I've got just the thing for you. It's this scimitar in a sweet-looking box. It's worth a kingdom itself, but I will give it to you free of charge.
Because you're so hot.
Huh? Because
you're hot.
Because you're so hot. He doesn't want to trade, Link doesn't want to trade in his gun for a sword at first, but he's told, like, this sword gets the ladies hot as well. Like, basically, like, this'll attract, he tells him, he preys on, you know, what Link wants to hear, and is like, you know, this'll get you the girls, and he's like, alright, cool.
Princesses love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We find out this whole thing was basically a ruse. He takes Link's sword from him and trade. He's like, here, just we'll do tradesies, you know?
But it's mm-hmm. so dumb because Link's whole reason for, like, not just accepting the sword, he's like, well, I've already got one sword. And there's no way I could strap another sword to my body. My fragile hero frame could only hold one sword.
Yeah, it doesn't shrink. That's the problem.
Well, up until this point in the Zelda series, when we get a new sword, the other one disappears. It won't be until later games, like in Ocarina, where we get a Kokiri sword, and then we get a Master Sword, and then we get a Big Goron sword, and we can kind of switch between them depending mm-hmm. on the situation, I guess.
I love to see the explorers or adventurers that come after us. And they just, like, find this shrine, and they can see, like, this pedestal where a sword would be, but really there's just some lesser sword tossed to the side on the ground. Like, well, I guess I'm taking this.
That's how we get our sword. So, yeah, this whole thing is a ruse, if it wasn't obvious, because then the three idiots come back, and they're like, hey, you know, the plan worked, or the plan sure was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
They want extra money because Link was... They didn't know that Link was going to be actually good.
Right.
Which makes it seem like, yeah, they targeted Link from the beginning. But the funny thing is, he says, without this sword, he'll never be that good again. Which, how does this dude know about Link's sword? How does this dude know about Link in general? And then...
Well, we find out, right?
Yes, I mean...
Do we find out,
Ganon.
Though?
Ganon.
Yeah, like he's been contracted.
I don't think he.
I thought we find that out later.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, cut to Zelda, who is being chased by some Zelda 2 bad guys.
She's just out of nowhere. She's just running.
Smash
from
cut.
Flying eyeballs.
Yeah. And Link, you know, he's on his sword, so he runs after them. And he tries to block their attacks, but, like, his, you know, much like the fake Big Goron sword, it breaks immediately.
And then we do hear Link say, I've been robbed, stung.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm learning all sorts of new slang terminology here.
Yeah.
I've never heard this term before.
But I love just then it's just like, uh-oh, it's Ganon.
Yeah.
Like, Ganon sudden... just like, I'm here.
Now that your sword's gone, basically. So he arrives and captures them and ties them up in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
There is a skeleton hanging on the wall next to them, which I like that just little touch. But yeah, Ganon just shows up, brings him down to Underworld.
I do want to say it's kind of funny to see like this oddly pathetic scene of Link getting bullied by these flying eyeballs because he has a broken sword.
Also, Ganon is still floating. We've got floating now, which has become canon since like the third or fourth episode. The snapping, I don't remember if they're snapping in this one, but that's just a thing now. Ganon snaps and blinks before he blinks now.
Snap and float. Snap and float.
Yeah, those are his moves, man. Snap like a switch, float like a bee. And Ganon can now demand that the king turn over the Triforce and the kingdom. He's just doubling up now. And the stakes will get even higher going forward in the show, but we're not there yet. Zelda is just pissed at Link. She's just like, what happened?
You traded your sword?
Where was your gun? You had a broken sword. What happened to your gun, dude?
Which
this is why you're always doing chores.
And I have to wonder, is it that like Link can only shoot lasers out of his sword, or can he shoot lasers out of any sword? Because why would you trade a sword that shoots lasers for a sword that doesn't shoot lasers unless you inherently could shoot lasers from a sword?
Yeah, I was about to say his sword is the only one that shoots lasers, but that's not true.
Yeah, we'll see in a later episode.
Not in this episode, right. We also find out its name. It's called like the Chris Sword in this episode.
The Chris Sword, yes.
Yeah. It's sure. I think I'd have to look into it, but I'm pretty sure old Bobby B. Forward, probably his kid's name is Chris or something. So, you know, whatever. That's my guess. That's just a guess. That's just speculation. So, enter our merchant here who's holding the Chris Sword, and he's like, "It's mine now. I'll sell it to you, Ganon." And even Ganon doesn't trust him. He's contracted this guy, I guess, but he brings him in right here, and you know, Link's like, "Hey, it's that jerkwad who stole my sword, basically, who conned me out of my sword."
I'm a little distracted looking up Chris Sword's LinkedIn right now. Senior manager for content analytics at Disney Streaming in California. So. I don't know. I'll send him a message. I'll see what he has to say about the Zelda series.
I'm really interested to know that now. Pay attention, dear. Tell your friends about our Patreon if they want to find out.
Shout out to Chris Sword.
Shout out Chris Sword. So yeah, it's Sneeze Nose. That's what it is. Sneeze Nose.
Okay.
And they call them rupees this time, and he asked Ganon for 1,000 of them for the sword, which incenses Ganon, or Ganon is incensed by this and gives the command to just like, no, dude, you asked for too much.
How does Ganon not have, like, I just figure like Ganon should have access to as much money as he needs, right? He just literally can't get the one thing that he wants.
Well, even Link and the prince, the White Knight, were fighting over $20 in that earlier episode, so maybe like just money is hard to come by, I guess, or I don't know, maybe magic is fueled by money like the arrows are in the first game.
I think maybe it was just Ganon was upset on principle, like no one likes the scalper, to be honest.
Yeah, He's like, yeah. You know, you could have asked me for a little more than face value, but you know, it's like Tom Nook. Like, he asked for like 4 times face value for the item. So he just gets mad and captures Tom Nook.
And this is really just what inspired the Tingle game for DS as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Negotiations, yes.
You pay so. People to fight for you. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It all started from here.
Oh God. That's upsetting. Ganon robs him of Link's sword, basically. He's just like, no, I'm not happy. I'm not down with how you tried to make this go down. So he captures him, takes the sword.
Sleazno does offer a lifetime subscription to Wizards Weekly.
He offers him a few things here.
Yeah. Which I love the exchange after this, because like Link is chastising Sleazno. And then Zelda chimes in and says, we should be thinking about dinner because we're the main course, because they're about to feed him to Goma. And right. Link's retort is, what about a kiss for an early dessert? And I thought that was like one of the, like a genuinely funny like quip from Link.
Mm-hmm. Good, genuinely funny quip from Bob Forward. Yeah, so Ganon, now holding the Chris sword, declares that he is even more powerful and better equipped to get the Triforce and the kingdom. Cool.
My plan is working perfectly.
Exactly. So, as BC mentioned, Sneeznose offers to set them up with a new crystal ball that comes with a remote, a set of Hyrulean knives that never need sharpened, and a subscription to Wizard Weekly. So just basically, you know, every door-to-door salesman who's telling you what you want to hear and says they got the, you know, he's just trying to get one over on you. I don't know. Also, I tried to look up the transcript to be like, it's really hard to hear what he's saying. And even the transcript was like, I don't know what he said. So
yeah,
I
tried turning on captions just to get his name, and it was, and my DVD was like, you think this has captions?
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, that's so fresh and tasty. So they're all cranky with each other. Link is mad at Sneeznose, and Sneeznose is indignant, and Zelda's like, stop fighting, we're about to become someone's dinner. Which leads to, you know, he wants a kiss for dessert. And they're pushed into the Rancor, or the Goma pit. And, yeah. So Link totally fleeces Sneeznose for lockpicks. He just kind of tosses him upside down like a bully from a, you know, an old movie, and shakes his milk money out of his pockets.
But he says... He finds Zelda has a rope, right?
But
they call it, he calls it a lasso, but he calls it a lasso.
Yeah, lasso that creature, Zelda. That's the quote.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great, because it doesn't work, but it works. Like Link isn't quite telling her exactly what his plan is. Because
this is one of the most ridiculous scenes in this show. Like, this is,
yeah, it's like when you got a, you know, a whistle on a string or whatever, or like every lifeguard you've ever seen at a public pool when you were a kid, just sitting there twirling the whistle around their finger over and over again.
But it's more like a tetherball, like, because keep wrapping around him because it's apparently infinite rope.
And it basically ties itself up by swinging Zelda around itself. Link drops a stalactite on Goma with his boomerang.
Yep.
And that's what kind of causes, and then Zelda's rope kind of finishes it off, and Sneeze.
They really did it differently.
Huh?
They really did it differently.
They did it differently.
Normally you just use the arrow. And you shoot Goma in the eye.
I know. This is, I mean, you can take out Goma, you know, with a sword, I think, eventually, but you might as well just shoot it in the face. But not with your sword gun, with your arrow gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sneeze Nose picks the lock, but still kind of tries to screw them over here.
Yeah, he keeps talking out loud to himself.
He's like, very Ganon-like, this is perfect. And like, oh, this is my evil plan. It's working perfectly.
Yeah. But we just immediately kind of cut to Hyrule Castle, and they're already home.
Yeah, they just got out of there.
Ganon didn't just immediately leave to go to the castle?
Yeah, I mean, underworld entrances are everywhere, man. They probably just took a shortcut.
Well, Ganon was getting his parade ready to join him as he takes on Hyrule Castle.
Where's my walking bug? I need my walking bug.
But also, like, while this is happening, Sneeze Nose is, like, also eyeing the candles and, like, is thinking of stealing them, is how I took that.
Yeah, they're trying to devise a plan to counter Ganon, and they're talking to the Triforce of Wisdom. And meanwhile, Sneeze Nose is just casing the joint for things to nab. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to see what he can get away with here. Because I just took it as he sees all sorts of things that look good, but, you know, also the Triforce of Wisdom is right there, too.
This is the worst Triforce of Wisdom, riddle room, or like riddle suggestion clue that we've gotten since the Witch of the Wall episode, where she's just like, yeah, if you don't have magic, use something natural. It's like, what does that mean, Triforce?
When magical means will not suffice, use natural means as your device. You mean like bugs and stuff?
And like bugs and stuff? Like,
Sprite's how like, are you going to yes. go from...
Yeah,
bugs. Sprite's here, by the
like,
way.
Like, that's what I was talking about.
I think it's also ridiculous in that we haven't seen Sprite in how long?
It's been a couple episodes.
Since the frog? Since Link got turned into a frog, basically, I think?
Yeah, and Sprite just shows up out of nowhere and is like, are you guys idiots? Like, this is what you gotta do. And it's like, all right, thanks.
She was...
Deus Ex Sprite.
She was having adventures off in the Fairy Kingdom. We never got that spinoff because this did so poorly.
She's the princess, right. Yeah, she got called away to her princessly duties in Fairy Kingdom. Yeah, my notes here say, Zelda says, you mean like bugs and stuff? Sprite says, exactly. I say, kill me, please. So that's where I was in this moment, mentally. We see them getting it's the getting it together montage of, they drag Sleaze with them because, you know, like, they're not going to leave him alone with the Triforce or just basically alone at all.
Yeah.
They stuff him into a beekeeper outfit and, make him go grab a bee's nest or whatever, which is the first bee's nest in the Zelda series that we see. Also the first shovel in the Zelda series that we see. And he digs up some ants too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Well, there's two different beekeeper, or there's two different bees nests that get grabbed here. One of them goes into a catapult. The other one is used somewhere else. I forget. I can't remember off the top of my head. Finally, Ganon shows up after all this time. I guess, yeah, he just needed his big walking bug.
Yeah, with his favorite giant beetle.
I mean, let's be honest. Now, if you had a giant beetle, you would ride it everywhere. You would.
Well, yeah, because his Pegacorn is gone.
Right.
That was his favorite. Now he's got to go back to the beetle.
Well, you know. There's also like a floating Stalfos with him. There's just floating bad guys now.
I don't know. Like, I don't remember. I don't, like, who knows? There's some of these things where they're just like, yeah, those skeletons can fly, right? It's just like, no, well. Too late. I already sent it into production.
we just kind of need it here. Yeah, he's holding onto the Chris sword. And Sneeze Nose walks up with his white surrender flag.
Mm-hmm.
He claims to have stolen something from Hyrule for Ganon as a dude. I'm sorry. Here's my apology. I got you something good. Ganon is just indignant. He's like, how did you get out? You were right. Supposed to be dinner.
And he's just like, yeah, I got you the Triforce. It was actually super easy to take from the castle.
All you have to do is go there when they're not there.
Just tell Link there's a girl over there and he'll run towards him.
Just be quicker about it. Because you've done that before,
and then
but
he
you
just
haven't.
There and goes, ha, I'm going to take it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you blink around for a while. Just go there while the magic jar is empty. If you go there and you wait for the magic jar to fill up with dead guys, you're probably too late, buddy. You just got to get in there faster. But the box he hands him with the gift is actually has a beehive in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, you know, a very Nick Cage moment. I was referring to this as the Nick Cage episode. Bees.
What? Bees? Not the bees!
The wild insinuation here is that, like, they don't need Link. They just need bees.
Yeah. I mean, that apparently magic can't stop bees or tell bees what to do or use bees against them.
They also, I mean, they attack like the Staphos, which I'm just like, why would bees do anything to the skeletons? Like, I don't understand it.
I don't know. That is an excellent point, Jeremy, and one I had not thought of. I don't know.
But then Link swings in.
Yeah, he's got the rope again. He's been sitting up on this tree branch. Sorry, go ahead.
He swings in on this tree, just takes his sword back, just like that. Like Ganon was barely holding onto this sword. He just swings in and grabs it. That's it.
And Ganon's like, I'm mad that you did that. I should have been able to not have you beat me. And then he gets hit in the face with the bees from the catapult.
Yeah.
Which just further, and this gets like honey all over him. And then he kind of like stares into the beehive for a second before the bees all shoot out and get him. They're like, what is this? It's a beehive. You just saw it.
Yeah. He could have tossed it. He didn't.
Yeah. So this causes them all to run away. Ganon turns his bug car around, and they all just kind of run off.
Well, the Staphos bounce off.
Yeah.
They're like bouncing for some reason.
Zelda is so excited here that they've won, that she wants a kiss.
I think this is the first time that she's like initiated and been like, you kiss me, not just like, oh, like you deserve a kiss now. It's like she actually wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
But does anyone have the line that dissuades her?
Oh, yeah.
I just wrote bad pun.
No, it's double pun.
Yeah.
I'd be delighted, honey. She's like, oh, I'm not in the mood anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, I get it.
That's get the realest it, moment in this show. Like that.
Yes.
Link all of a sudden members are double-crossing merchant. Once again, my notes have a much more harsh term for what they've done here with this character. But he's worried about the Triforce of Wisdom, and rightly so.
You're talking about getting the ants before, and then they're going to... So they intentionally got the ants because they knew that Sneeze Nose was going to steal something. And so they made a fake Triforce using magic.
Yes.
To make it look like they could have. So you're telling me they could have made it look like that, but instead they had Sneeze Nose originally just go out with a box with a beehive in it. Like they could have made it look like anything, but instead physically had to hand it to them.
That was Chekhov's beehive. Yeah.
Well, they couldn't do that with sleep. They couldn't do that with Sneeze Nose because then he would know that they had the ability to disguise the Triforce.
All right. All right. Fair.
Sure.
Yeah. Chestnut checkers, it turns Jeremy.
Yeah, and so the Sneeznose runs off with a box that he thinks is the Triforce of Wisdom.
No, he thinks he's holding the Triforce of Wisdom, and an anthill.
Yeah, turns out it's just a bunch of fire ants or something. And they had hidden the Triforce of Wisdom in Link's pile of dirty clothes.
Classic.
Because I think we'll get to it in the next episode, but I think I'm starting to understand what's going on here. It's that Bob Forward's kids do not do their chores, and he's mad about it. And he's like, kids need to do chores, so let me tell them that their favorite video game character also has to do his chores.
What they should have ended this shot with him laughing, and then you could see through the window Sneeznose being eaten by fire ants, screaming like ah.
Yeah, you know, that might have been a good final shot for this. But yeah,
we get the titular line. That's how you sting a stinger.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. 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 We did.
I still don't know what that is. I don't get this stuff half the time, so nothing doing, Buster, I guess.
Next time I see some funds that I didn't approve on my bank account, I'm gonna call my bank and be like, I've been stung,
and hope that the bank branch manager is a boomer, and he'll be like, oh no, well, I'll get your money back right away, youngin.
Yeah, the automated voice recognition machine will know exactly what I'm talking about. Press one, you've been stung.
They laugh at Sneeznose from the window, and that's the end of the episode. That's the end of stinging a stinger. They literally stung him. Hooray.
I hate this show, guys.
I hate
it here.
This
is terrible. This is really bad. Don't have we said don't watch the show? I can't remember if we've said that on here before.
Not on this episode.
Oh, okay.
We should just record a disclaimer that goes before every episode, just because.
Child of the Wild is recorded from our separate places of living, and we would like to remind you to not watch this show. But we would also like to say thank you for putting us through this, because our patrons are wonderful and they unlocked this. And thanks to, you know, to all of them, we love them. Thanks to Cody for basically being the one to force us to do this. But we love you all. And don't watch it. Every time I tell people, like a new group of people, don't watch the show, they're like, you're making me want to watch the show now. And I'm like, I don't know why. I just told you why it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Okay.
It's just boring. It's just boring. Like, that's like my whole thing is just like, don't watch it because it's a waste of your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just boring.
It's not even good, bad.
Yeah, no, it's not like The Room bad. It's just dumb and bad. And it's don't do it. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Gaiden!
Come on in. Take a seat. What are you having? Well, of course I've heard of Hair of the Dogcast. That's the podcast that talks about video games and beer. For all of the latest gaming headlines, craft beer reviews, retro games, modern games, series retrospectives, console studies, and on occasion, extremely hungover discussions on the lore of Kingdom Hearts, make sure to check out Hair of the Dogcast. Part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
New this April from HyperX, it's the HyperX Clutch Controller. Get better control of your mobile gaming with its comfortable grip, directional pads, analog sticks, and shoulder button. This versatile controller can fit a variety of phone widths and can also connect wirelessly for use on tablets and PCs. Learn more and pick one up online at HyperXandHP.com, Amazon, Micro Center, Target, Best Buy, and many other fine retailers.
SequelCast 2 and Friends looks at movies and video games and franchises, one movie and game at a time. hosted by Matt Bradley Schurge, Drasher, and Alex Miller, been going since 2009, and we're part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild bonus episode, where we watch one of the worst shows of all time, talking about The Legend of Zelda, the animated series. I'm your host, Jeremy Harvey. I've got BC Nelson here, and I have Brian Auer here as well.
Hi. Hey, how's it going?
What is your favorite part of The Legend of Zelda series? Mine is when you are doing chores.
There's nothing better than a good chore episode. That was the downfall of most sitcoms of the late 90s, is there weren't enough chore episodes.
Yeah, too many PSAs episodes about, you know, not doing drugs and not enough chores.
And I loved the episode when Joey just made a robot out of nowhere and it kept failing on him. That was a great episode.
Oh, Uncle Joey.
We are talking about the episode Hitch in the Works, which, like, okay, it makes sense when you see the whole thing, but, like, is Hitch in the Works a phrase?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard that.
I feel like it's a combination of two things, and I think that's like we have a combination of two different episodes that were just like half-assed, and they just combined them into one.
That is definitely a thing in this. I think it's just, you know, it'd be analogous to saying a glitch in the system or something.
I typically hear a wrench in the works.
Yes.
Or like here's the hitch, but Hitch in the Works, yeah. I don't think I typically hear.
No. So the episode starts off. Link is sneaking.
Yeah,
he's a sneaking around.
See, I didn't. We just see a shadow of someone though being a creepster, and we, you know, we don't know who it's going to be. It could be a bad guy. It turns out it's still a bad guy, but it's Link.
He is trying to sneak out of the castle. And he gets stopped by Zelda, and he drops his parcel that turns out was just a fishing pole, and he was going to go fishing.
You know how it is. I thought this is where this episode was going to go, which is my note says, oh God, it's a guys love to fish episode. Like, the whole episode is going to be Link just getting away and going fishing or something, but no.
I mean,
that's
we've
just
already established that he loves to fish, so.
Yeah.
Why couldn't this have been an episode where Ganon was just like, I will get the bigger fish than Link, and then he'll have to give me the Triforce? And it's just like, just make that the episode.
The second episode was ostensibly about chores, and then also like a magic contest, right? So, or was that the first episode? Early on,
it
we had chores
matter.
And a magic contest. So yeah, contests would be great.
Zelda makes a point that Ganon has not attacked in weeks.
Yeah.
And so Link is getting restless, and that's why he wants to go out and he wants to at least fish or something, because we've established so many times Link hates the castle. He hates the castle life. He wants to go live in the mud.
But no, you got to get to those chores. Like, yeah, seriously, so if this show had a very special episode, it would be about a family that was destroyed because the children never helped with chores.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a lot of fun here today, but entire families are crushed under mountains of dirty dishes. This is no laughing matter.
The craziest thing about this is there's, like, if you have a security guard and no one's tried to rob your store in, like, 2 weeks, you don't repurpose the security guard, because that's the whole point of the security guard.
You're telling me that they just don't have staff to do these things, you know, like you see this everywhere. Like, the princess does not do chores, and we have seen Zelda. Have we seen Zelda do chores? Now that
I think
I say
we
that,
have.
Yeah, we have.
I can see that in my mind's
eye.
We've
seen both princesses do chores.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, both princesses. So it's out of nowhere. In any kind of fantasy thing that these type of people, like, let's consider Link to be a royal guard, right? Like, that is his position.
He's got better things
not
to do,
be doing,
you think?
No, if anything, he would get really fat because he's just eating all the time and he's not, like, taking care of things. Like, that would really be the thing where just, like, oh, he's got nothing to do. It's, you know.
Yeah, he kind of correctly whines that he's a hero and not a handyman. Like, I kind of agree. Like, he should be, like, watching the Triforce and not filling up lamps. He should be, like, I don't know, sharpening weapons or doing something that is, you know, is useful to his skill set or something like that. But no,
training soldiers.
He's filling up, oil lamps.
Yeah.
Training soldiers, yeah. I mean, we've seen all these flips he can do. Is the Chris sword the only sword that shoots like a gun? Because if that's a skill he's learned, he can teach other soldiers how to shoot their gun swords.
We'll see in this episode that it is not the only sword that shoots lasers. So,
yeah. So we cut to Link up on a ladder. And then he spills the bucket of water that he was using to clean, and then he falls off the ladder because it's all wet.
That's oil. That's lantern oil. He's supposed to fill lantern the lamps. Oil? Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that's why it's kind of slippery. It's viscous.
Either way, it doesn't matter, because the next scene is just there's a robot, and that's what we're paying attention to now. this weird robot made of like a big barrel belly kind of thing. Just comes like lumbering over to him, and Link is just like, it's a monster. I gotta fight it. And then the robot just breaks.
Well, it like goes out of its way to run into a wall. It kind of like stops, takes a step back, and then turns into the wall and crumbles to pieces.
Now, before we got into this scene, Zelda said a thing that I was just like, I don't know what she was saying there. She was talking about a character named Doof.
Yeah, I didn't even hear her say it.
Yeah, she mentioned something about Doof is down in the basement or down in the cellar or doing something like that.
So,
yeah,
Link makes a point that it's the caretaker's job to clean the castle. And then, which
rightly
is Doof.
So.
And then she mentions that I think Doof has his hands full already.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Link goes, Doof. What the heck was that? And I'm like, Doof. I'm not sure if this
what
is
the
a
heck
character's
is Doof?
Name or is just like golly. Like if this is just more like 50s terms.
Ah, Doof. So Doof like explains that he's the one that made the robot, mm-hmm. and he uses abracadabra magic that he just says a spell. And the robot gets put back together again. But he says, like, he admits that he's bad at this.
Yeah.
And
Link specifically asks if this is safe. And he's like, I don't know. I suck at this. Which I respect. Yes. I respect that honesty.
It's funny. That is a good joke.
I didn't catch that he was a caretaker. And so I'm like, why is the guy who builds autonomous walking robots also helping with chores? It seems like this guy has better things to do, but no, he's the caretaker and he's just trying to get by with what little magic he knows.
So after he goes and brings it back up, then Doof just starts running into the wine cellar and they're like chasing him down. And then as that's happening, we see a stone. It does that thing where it sits way too long on a scene and you can see the one square that's going to move, like in that old animation style that it's just like colored a little differently and you know it's going to move.
Right.
This thing moves up. Some moblins try to come in. Doof and then I think Link or someone jumps on the stone going after it, and that like puts a big old knot on the top of the moblin's head that it comes down on him.
Well, the robot jumps on the stone first and then everybody else follows suit.
Right, when they go running back. Now do the moblins have chores in Underworld? Like I assume, like, is there an episode where they have to like clean the incinerator or whatever 50s tech they got down there?
Yeah.
No, man, you leave that stuff dirty. You leave it messy. That's how you make it look bad.
The Moblin's chore is getting murdered every 2 hours.
That's how they clean the inside of the evil jar. You missed that the automaton doesn't jump or walk over the animated brick. He grabs a broom and then uses it as a pogo stick.
Yeah, as a pogo stick.
Which breaks Link's ladder. Yeah, so there's an even bigger mess because Link tells Doof not to give up. Like, any invention that means doing less work is okay with me, but they're just making more work for themselves because Doof doesn't know what he's doing.
It's all part of the process. All part of the creative process.
Don't worry, it's working
perfectly. In about a minute or so, none of this will matter anymore because we will drop this entire thread.
No, we'll pick it back up at the last 5 seconds. But anyway, like Brian was saying, the Moblins show up. We have one of our patented, incredibly slow fight scenes where everyone is stumbling all over each other. I imagine the reason why Ganon hasn't attacked in like weeks is because like the Moblins end up tripping over each other and killing each other and going back to the evil jar before they can finally even make it to the castle. Like they end up just like screwing something up before we even see them.
Yeah.
And then they show back up at the evil jar again.
like I knew that we were going to see Moblins because Zelda says they haven't attacked in weeks. But, like, I was just really hoping that Link and Doofman just never see a bad guy, and it's just a series of events where the robot, like, you know, goes acme on them at every turn and just makes a bigger and bigger mess. I was just really, really pulling for, like, a slapstick episode. And no, we don't get that.
Apparently, it's in Ganon's contract. He has to be in every episode. Like, you can't beat that.
Well, or just like when you show up to the studio that day and like, these are the actors that we need for the scenes we have. Like, what do you mean I'm not on for today? What do you expect me to eat craft services today?
So we get a fight. Link is hanging upside down on a chandelier by his feet.
Yeah.
And he still does a Tarzan yell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like close, but not quite. Like, you're not doing...
Legally distinct is the word you're looking for.
Legally distinct.
I'm pretty sure Deke doesn't have the rights to that. Tarzan probably still was not in the public domain at this point, so yeah.
I think it was.
We're getting pretty close.
Before...
We're getting close, but I don't think we're quite there yet in 89.
I don't know. Anyways, let's talk about that.
When did the talkies start?
We see one of the Moblins pull out a boomerang like Link does. He gets the mini boomerang and it grows like, you know, it was in his pocket too. He's got his shrinky ding pocket too.
Mm-hmm.
And he chucks it at the robot and it hits it in its knee. And then it takes 5 hours for the robot to actually feel that and fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is not like it does it instantly. It hits its knee. It goes back. You continue the fight. At some point, the robot falls over because of the boomerang.
And what, when it gets hit in the knees, it is in the process of just giving one of the Moblins a big ol' hug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the weird thing is that when Doof reanimates the automaton, it's now obsessed with hugging whatever is in front of it. It's just fallen in love with
that's a vibe.
Any moving animate object.
I mean, if it was a Gibdo, I'd understand. I'd be right there with them. They're just huggable guys. But I could see a Moblin too.
So after all of this stuff, Link does his thing. He zaps them. They're all gone. Zelda shows up and is just like, "What is going on?" And Link explains that he was attacked by Moblins. And then Zelda goes,
"He's crushed underneath the weight of a robot," and so he's kind of like looks like he's sleeping, but he's not.
Zelda is asking, "Oh, if you fought Moblins, where are the Moblins?" Just like, you know the rules that if he successfully defeated the Moblins, they're not here.
Right.
Like, what? There's no, we don't have any Moblin bodies that get left behind. You know this, Zelda.
But he also lies about the number of Moblins, which makes it sound like he's lying about the Moblins altogether. And at this point, I'm just like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, We're going to argue about the existence of Moblins. Like, like you said, Jeremy, she knows the rules, right?
Well, if there's one constant in this entire show, it's lying to women. So, yeah. I mean, you got to work that.
Damn it.
Bobby Fizzle's got to work that in there.
Yeah, so, exactly. You know, it just comes naturally to him.
Okay. So,
Bobby Fizzle.
Link then has this plan, which he makes sure to say loud enough for Zelda to hear, that he's going to trick Zelda into thinking that there are Moblins attacking her so that he can then save her. And apparently his reward anytime he saves a thing is that he gets like 3 days off of chores or something like that.
I guess.
So, again, that's the only lot. Like,
Even everyone's just so grateful.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is, she's saying, you got to do chores because Ganon's not even attacking us. But if Ganon's attacking, mm-hmm. he needs to be, you know, not doing chores. He needs to be vigilant. But
right.
this all could have been solved by, I don't know, Doof talking to the princess.
Well, Doof had run away. He comes back at this point. But yeah, I guess he could have just found the princess, you're right, and gotten her. I mean, she can hear this conversation, though.
Yeah.
She's in the other room, listening.
It sounds almost like Zelda has a counter plan, but she doesn't. She basically is just like, oh, we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally cut over to our favorite person in this whole series, Ganon.
My note just says, and, oh, thank Hylia, Ganon is here.
Yes,
save
absolutely.
Me from this madness.
So here's this week's plan. Ganon is going to use a magic necklace, and he's going to put it around Zelda's neck. And with that, it will control her, and she'll listen to anything he says.
It's a jewel of control.
And with that, Ganon will be able to marry Zelda, which then means that he will own Hyrule. I don't like what I do not believe that the courts of Hyrule will recognize a wedding done in the underworld, right? Like it's like when you have a degree from another country, it doesn't carry over. Like it's not recognized. So like, why does he think that? Like, it just makes me think, like, okay, well, I think
Ganon's losing sight of the mission just overall.
He is. He's got mission creep, all right.
Like the scope creep is palpable.
Quest
here.
Creep.
Like,
just creep. Quest just creep. Nothing but creeps. The Moblins were meant to capture Zelda. That's they had a net, and they actually get Link in the net at one point, and he cuts his way out. So they were there to net, also first net in the Zelda series. But, yeah, I was so happy to see Ganon, and then really quickly I'm like, buddy, no, things are getting problematic again. Like, oh, I thought you were here to save us, but you're not. But I do want to say the snapping is back. Snapping seems to become canon now, or Ganon mm-hmm. canon.
It's Ganon's canon. And yeah, so they show up, they kidnap Zelda. Zelda thinks that it's not really them, that
for
it's
like
part
2 of seconds.
Link's trick. Yeah. And then Link is just like, "Wait, what's wait, I didn't plan for any of this stuff here." And then Doof shows back up, and I have a note right here where I said Doof brings plush Moblin, which I want.
Yeah, that one down.
The plush Moblin is the star of the show.
I want a plush Moblin. I want a plush Gibdo. Like, just, I need those in my life.
Right. And so, after all of this, like, the Ganon's minions have gotten way ahead. So, Link has to speed run Strat.
Dude.
His way into there, which is, it's nuts. Because
this is mind-blowing.
Because he's legit using an actual speedrun strategy that is done in Breath of the Wild.
He is shield surfing. He is using two different Breath of the Wild speedrun
strats. Right,
because
he does the bounce.
He's
right,
doing wind bombing and BTBing as like a hybrid. And I have no idea what to do with this.
Here's the thing. Brent, you know, just a reminder, you are part of a speedrunning podcast.
Oh, I am? That oh, that's right. I am.
You know now, anytime this gets brought up, you're going to be like, oh, no, I know the origin. I have to say something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Trick videos from Chinese glitch hunters? No. This came from the cartoon, man.
Yep.
Yeah, he it's flies so off weird, like man. Mercenary Tao, and it's amazing.
So again, he's still not fast enough because Ganon has succeeded in his first step. Well, his second or third step, let's say.
He gets there in time to kill a few of them before they head into Underworld, but they manage to hold him, you know, keep him busy while they run underground.
Yeah. But Ganon does get the necklace on Zelda. And that basically it means the wedding is going to happen, but we don't see the wedding immediately, because then we get Staphos like on patrol. It's weird, like they're just like it just cuts to that where they're like, anyways, these Staphos are just like doing their rounds right now. And Link is like Spider-Manning. And he just like drops down and starts fighting them. And this is where we see the Staphos use their own swords and shoot their own lasers out of their swords and then hit each other. Link just has to dodge. And
The show is really informed by Old West tropes. I mean, with the gun shoot, Link being a gunslinger and all that stuff. So he does the classic duck down and let the two guys shoot each other move.
And then he has the dumbest quip, which he just says, "Let's face it, I'm good."
I mean, that is like the quote of the era. Like that, like that's like Big Trouble in Little China, like with like the main guys like just talking. Like that's every 80s protagonist.
Every pathetic 80s protagonist, especially when you're talking about like Big Trouble in Little China and stuff like that. Like, I'm really good. And like, no, we've seen you like be a complete doofus. No.
Yeah.
I mean, we did skip the part where, I mean, we talk about how he gets the necklace on Zelda, but she immediately and thoughtfully agrees to marry him. And Ganon just throws his hands up and goes, "Let the ceremony begin."
We do get back to the wedding being officiated by Death.
Death just dude, hanging out.
Like, if you could get anyone, right? Like,
okay, fair.
Anybody that you could get, you could be like, dude, I've got Death.
I want Terry Pratchett's
my wedding.
Death.
There's a great "Till Death Do Us Part" joke here, but I can't grasp it. Just can't grasp it.
Till Death Do Us Start?
Somewhere Ooh. In there. Oh.
Good one, Jeremy.
I think you're onto something, yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't last very long. Link totally the graduate like busts in during the graduate portion of the wedding. And he's like, "Yeah, I got a reason. This gun in my hand."
Yeah, I was expecting a really, like, at least cheesy one-liner, but he's like, "Yeah, I got a reason. Back off, Ganon."
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Now, this episode does have some of the worst quips, like, and the final one being my favorite of how bad it is, but we will get to that.
Kids, this is why you have someone do a pass on your script, your essay, your book report, anything. Just have someone read over it and edit it and offer you notes. Be this it your sister or your mother or your wife, whatever. Just have someone look at it.
This is why we don't need adaptations of video games.
Oh, yeah. Adaptations, that's a thing going around this week.
What's the monster that shows up here?
Gliok. Gliok comes back, but he's not a big old doofus like he was in the Frog Link episode.
Yeah, in this one it's a little different. I feel like this is like Gliok 2.0 or something.
Yeah, because
like
Ganon ripped out this time.
Yeah, Ganon ripped out the personalities of them and added some new features apparently.
Yeah, I mean this does happen at some in some fight. I thought where take out one of the Gliok heads, it stays around and just bounces around the room, right?
It does happen. I don't remember when, but this does happen in the game.
Yeah, I had that same feeling. I couldn't tell you exactly where, but I'm just like, yeah, they did that because it was in the game, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Zelda is still, you know, under control, and she doesn't want to go with Link when Gliok shows up. And lest Link be confused, Ganon just like, I've got mind control, just so you know. Yes. I gotta tell you my plan.
It's the villain oath. You have to always explain your plan.
That's the only way the mind control works, is if you announce it every 15 minutes.
And so he's fighting Gliok, does a thing where basically kills it except for the three heads, and then three heads immediately just jet in a straight line to where Link is. So Link is able to just dodge it, and they just fly into Ganon.
And explode.
And it explodes.
Yeah. Link's like, I gotta hurry, because I guess if Zelda says I do, it's a binding contract. We're not even in the Kingdom of Hyrule. This doesn't matter. Why does he have to hurry?
No. I mean, because we even find out after they leave the underworld that necklace doesn't work anymore anyway.
Right, right.
So, yeah, we get out of there, and it's not even like he has to, like, get it off of her or anything. She just comes out, and it doesn't work anymore. And then she, you know, she talks about, like, oh, this is your fault. And he's just like, this wasn't even my plan. Like, I'm, you know... I don't like, yeah, you're right. I was going to do a thing, but I didn't. So
if this necklace did work, does it only work for Ganon? If Link had said, kiss me, would she have done it? Like, what's going on with this thing? We shouldn't even ponder this at this point.
No, we shouldn't. Cause in 30 seconds, this thing can be wiped from our brains. We do see that Zelda does get scared by the fake Moblin that's in the robot, the automaton body. Mm-hmm. It's the plush filled with the automaton, because we can see by the way it's moving, but it still just falls over and it's broken and it still doesn't work.
No, but it scares her though.
It does scare her. So
and
it's like
Doof
there
comes
was that
back and's like, hey, it didn't work. This is the best I could do. But she has already jumped into Link's arms, and he's like, I think it worked pretty fine, buddy. I'm holding a girl now.
And that is where we leave those two. But our last moment in this episode, we do see Ganon trapped in the evil jar again, and he says, another time, Link, another time. Like, he can have
with
a catchphrase.
With a wow. I have it phonetically written out. I don't understand what he was screaming.
Ganon needed a catchphrase, you know? Like
he did.
Needed a thing.
It's not, I'll get you, Link and Zelda. It's got to be something better.
I think my plan is working perfectly.
Yeah, there it is right there. That's it. For some reason, I was so tickled by let the ceremony begin. just triumphantly screaming it. Mm-hmm. He just wants to get married. He just wants to settle down, you know?
I have actually looked into, like, a Ganon plush. Like, I want this form of Ganon. Like, I would even take, if I could find, like, a warthog plush, and then I'll put it in, like, a purple gown. And
dress it up.
Or something like that, yeah. And be
I'm
like,
sure there's
that's
a beanie
that,
baby out there somewhere.
Something like that. And I'm going to put a little speaker box inside of it. Like, it's something I would love to do. I love this Ganon so much.
He's not always redeemable, but for the most part, he's the only redeemable thing in the show.
In a world full of horrible, horrible people, he is the shining light in all of this darkness.
Don't put him under a bushel. Put him on top of the hill.
But that wraps up this episode. Thank you all for joining in with us. Like we always say, don't watch this show.